I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Good Tuesday. Welcome in, everyone. Daniel Pink is the author of several books. Talk about timing. New York Times bestsellers, When, Drive, To Sell as Human, and A Whole New Mind. This intrigued me when I saw a review of it, and Bill was good enough to track him down. Daniel H. Pink, New York Times bestseller, When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. And as I mentioned, why the heck would lunch be the major meal of the day, not breakfast? And what's the perfect time to get married? As far as what age? What does the research say on that? Joining us is Daniel Pink here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Daniel, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Well, I think it's a perfect time for you to be on this time of the day. We plotted it almost exactly at 11 o'clock. What intrigued you? Why did you get into this, the secrets of perfect timing?
You know, I think it was because I was frustrated. I was making all kinds of timing decisions in my own life, things like, when should I do certain kinds of work? When should I exercise? When should I start a project? When should I abandon a project that's not working? And I was making these decisions in a very haphazard way. I looked around for guidance. It didn't exist. And then I started just playing around looking at, seeing if there's any science out there on this question. And it turned out there was a huge amount of science on this question of timing. And if we go wide enough and deep enough into that research, we can begin to piece together the evidence-based ways to make better, smarter decisions about when to do things in our lives.
Well, I don't want to draw you into the politics of it. I'll handle that part. But, you know, I often see this with people, and I bet at some point I would consult you when they determine they should run for president. So, for example, right next door to us, Governor Christie didn't run in 2012. Look at what happened to him in 2016. In 2012, it would have been a bit of a gamble, but that was the perfect time. When it's there, you have to strike. We're seeing any number of people announce now. I'm in the camp, and I wanted to ask you this, a broader type of thing. I may be too aggressive. When I see the opportunity there, I would advise people, don't listen to them. Wait 4 years. It'll be better then. This certain things are, Daniel, very, very difficult to predict too far. If it's right and you have a good shot, that's when you go on something like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think on something like running for president, you're exactly right. I mean, the world, the country is so chaotic that no one's going to know 4 years out, 8 years out, whether the conditions are going to change. I think this is one reason why you have, I mean, you literally could have 20 Democrats running for the nomination in 2020.
Yeah, there's not. I wonder if in your book you come to this conclusion as kind of a rule. You know, there's never going to be a point that I could see where everything is just lined up perfectly. As much as you're studying this scientifically, when a lot of the science, when a lot of that is behind you, then that's a good time to do something. Do you think the science?
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. You're never. It's actually a really, really good point, because a lot of it is really just probabilities, right?
Right.
So we can never say, okay, if I do it this way, I have 100% chance of getting it right. But what you can do is you can dial up your probabilities, and you can use this science to figure out, okay, what's the best time of day for me to do my, you know, to analyze data? What's the best time of day for our team to do a brainstorming meeting? What's the best time of day for me to exercise? And if you look at some of the research on that, you can make better decisions, maybe not perfect decisions, but decisions that are smarter.
Exactly. Now, let's get to this. I'm a big believer in breakfast, so I'm up at 4 o'clock, so maybe that's why in the morning. But my wife is the biggest fan of lunch. Without lunch, that's the epitome of it. Not dinner, thank God, the expense of that, but lunches. She would go out to lunch every day with a bunch of people. So you say that lunch is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, if you look at the research on breakfast, what it shows is that, yeah, people who eat breakfast tend to be a little healthier. But it could be that's because healthy people decide to eat breakfast, not that breakfast makes them healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer to whether one should eat breakfast is in the research is a definitive maybe. I mean, my view is eat breakfast if you want, skip it if you don't want. I think, though, that we've undersold the importance of lunch. And the reason for that is this. In general, we've undersold the importance of breaks in the day. We have this notion that the way to get more done, the way to get better work done, is simply to power through and not take a break. And what the evidence is telling us is that is totally 100% wrong. We should be taking more breaks, and we should be taking certain kinds of breaks. And lunch as a break can be extremely effective in restoring people's mood, in sharpening their mental faculties.
Yeah, you do talk about that. That's an underlying theme I got from your book, this notion that napping and things like that are not out of bounds.
No, I mean, napping is another kind of a break, and there's a lot of research on napping with law enforcement officials, with athletes, with air traffic controllers, and what it shows is that naps are actually afternoon naps, because, again, in the early to mid-afternoon, we experience this trough where our performance dips considerably. And a nap in the early to mid-afternoon can be like a Zamboni for our brain. That is, we have all these like nicks and scuffs on our mental ice, and a nap can come over and smooth it out. But the thing is that the most effective naps are incredibly short, shorter than I ever would have imagined, between 10 and 20 minutes long. Naps longer than that, you begin to develop what's called sleep inertia, which is that groggy, boggy feeling you get. But super short naps can be a very effective way, again, to restore your physical energy, to restore your mental sharpness, to boost your mood a little bit.
Daniel Pink with us. Daniel, have you consulted with any pro teams? Oh, I could see Bill Belichick pulling you up there and doing the right time of day. Have they? I mean, pro football particularly is very, very conscious of the slightest edge.
Yeah, and actually, I have not worked with any NFL teams, but a lot of the teams in professional sports are bringing in people with expertise in these kinds of things. For instance, like the NBA has been really a pioneer in bringing sleep science into its operations. So you now have teams that will have a sleep consultant. You have teams actually regulating the temperature at which players sleep at night, making sure players get enough sleep. There's some other interesting research that actually sports gamblers years ago used, showing that that East Coast NFL teams playing West Coast NFL teams at night were less likely to cover the spread. And so,
You're talking. Gamblers, slow down on this. We need some spread knowledge.
Gamblers picked up on that, and actually, yeah. the lines began changing. You see it in. Again, you know, it's like time matters. You see it in some interesting research on athletic performance in the course of a day. That is, our performance is as an individual, just like an amateur athlete like me or you, or even pro athletes. What we know is that in the late afternoon and early evening, our speed is greater, our lung function is higher, our hand-eye coordination is better. And so, you know, in terms of your own daily exercise and things, you're going to perform better in the late afternoon and early evening than you will in the morning. Now, there's even a disproportionate number of world records set in the late afternoon mm-hmm. and early evening local time, especially in speed events.
Makes sense.
Again, all these things matter.
Daniel, let's talk about a couple of the other sides of the coin here. First of all, the best age to get married, the timing there, when? What do you say?
Yeah, so this is a tough one. And again, it's like it's what you said earlier. It's like it's not like if you get married at a certain age, you're guaranteed to have a lasting marriage. And if you get married at the wrong age, it's all over for you. But what the research shows is this: people are more likely to stay married if they get married between about the ages of 25 and 32. Again, doesn't mean if you get married at 33 you're going to get divorced. It doesn't mean if you get married at 24 you're going to get divorced. Mm-hmm. But in general, the odds seem to be better for people who are married between age 25 and age 32. Also, people's marriages tend to last longer if they get married after they've completed their formal education, no matter how much education they have, after their education is over rather than during it or before it's over.
Makes sense. Divorce filings, though, the timing spike in March and August.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. So this is really interesting. So they go crazy in March and in August. And I think it's hard to say exactly why that is, but a reason for that is probably this, that during the holidays, let's say the winter holidays, people are try to keep it together for the family, try to make it work. But then they get to the beginning of the year around now, and they're like, okay, man, this marriage is over. And it takes a while to find a lawyer and get the things in place, and so that's why there's a spike in March. Because, again, what we can measure are divorce filings. We can't measure when people decide, but we can measure when they file papers in a court. Same thing is true with August. Parents, in general, try to keep it together during the school year for the kids, and then once the school year is out, okay, we're done. Let's go find lawyers. And then so March and August are the months of the year where divorce filings spike. So your listeners are probably good for the rest of January, but I would check their email, after Valentine's Day.
Oh, God. Valentine's Day, you have to get in one final burst. What's your favorite insight in this research, in this bestseller, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing?
One of my favorites is when to deliver good news and bad news. So let's say someone says, I've got good news and bad news. I always gave the good news first because I thought it would soften the blow. But it turns out there's research showing that's totally wrong, that when you ask people, what do you want first, the good news or the bad news, 4 to 5 people want the bad news first and the good news
after. I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah, and so this is part of our approach to endings. In general, human beings prefer endings that elevate. They prefer rising sequences at the end to declining sequences at the end. So I've changed my behavior. I was Mr. Good News First, then Bad News. Now I am Mr. Bad News First, then Good News, and that's the way to do it.
Well, think about it. You put a Hollywood film out, it could be excellent, and you don't have a happy ending or a relatively happy ending, Daniel Pink, you're in big trouble. Think about that.
That's true. And again, endings matter a lot. Endings have a big effect on our motivation. They have a big effect on our memory. Again, it's another example of, if we're just a little bit more conscious of beginnings, middles, and ends, if we're a little bit more conscious of breaks, if we're a little bit more conscious of how time of day affects our mood and our brain power, we can do things a little better.
Absolutely. This is great stuff. I love your work. Thank you, and I'd love to talk with you again. What are you working on next?
Trying to figure that out.
Okay.
Trying to figure that out. Right now I'm working on getting through the day.
Okay. Go and take a nap after this interview.
Yeah.
You got to be exhausted. Have some lunch first. Remember, it's the most important meal of the day. Thanks, Daniel, very much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.